Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Okay, it is Dom time. It's got some great people coming by today. Of course, the side question. We get a winner at the end of the day. Dom's Money Melody. It's all there. Wanted to just start off by saying Bret Baier yesterday, the people he had on from Doge. Now, I'm not sure if that's all the people or whatever, but they really, the interviews with Elon Musk and the guys from Doge was very good. And they gave lie to this notion they're just going in with chainsaws and going wild and all that. It came across very well. They made a number of great points about how much fraud is out there, etc. I'll continue to monitor it, though, see exactly what they do in each and every instance. But I got to say, I thought it was incredibly effective. Good job by Bret Baier. All right, want to play you a couple things. This will be cut 14. Here is Chris Coons, the senator from Delaware, talking about his buddy Joe Biden a bit, but also talking about the signal thing that we've talked all week about. We'll play that in a moment. And I did find sound of State Senator Lindsey Williams. That's this woman we've invited on the show. It says women are the same as men when it comes to athletic competition. All this coming, the Women in Fairness Act that's out there. We'll get to this. You can call in whenever you want. I just think it's fun. It's irrational. Come on. Bramnick, we'll try to get him on Monday. The guy running for governor, he's an anti-Trump guy. He's got no shot in the Republican primary, but he's a power in Jersey, has reintroduced the self-serve gas, pump your own gas bill, including the idea, though, that if you have four pumps, you'd have to have a pump that somebody would pump between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Maybe that should be extended from 7 to 9 or something. But what is it about this guy's running for governor and jumping on the third rail? I completely support it. People are ridiculous on this. It just ridiculous. Just like Pennsylvania is the only state where you can't buy alcohol like a normal adult out of all 50 states, Jersey is the only state where you cannot pump your own gas. All right, so here is Chris Coons and Joe Kernan on CNBC, I think does a good job of getting this encapsulates to me the entire week. The very people now saying they're really after Pete Hegseth. These are the very people that dismissed all the things that resulted in loss of life, degradation of America during the Joe Biden years, and nobody bigger than the guy from Delaware who is the principal fan of Joe Biden. Here's Coons on CNBC.
Did you call for Lloyd Austin's resignation? Not only did we lose 13 service members, we left $70 billion worth of equipment that fell into the hands of the Taliban. A couple of years later, he was out of pocket for 2 weeks and didn't tell the White House. Did you ask for him to resign at this point? Are you actually asking for Hegseth and Waltz to resign when you didn't ask for Lloyd Austin?
There is nothing that Lloyd Austin did by getting health care treatment.
What about Afghanistan? Did you guys forget that? The statute of limitations is over for four years?
The fact that the Secretary of Defense was getting health care is fundamentally different from the Secretary of Defense sharing on an unsecure platform.
You just said it was a success. Afghanistan was not a success.
I am not saying that the attack on the Houthis was not a success. I am saying that he demonstrably violated a directive that was just shared in the Pentagon about don't use Signal for classified information. It is not reliably secure. And one of the folks on that group chat was in Russia at the time that that information
was being secure line.
Look, all of us use apps like WhatsApp.
You're running out the clock on Afghanistan.
It was a mistake for Donald Trump to negotiate with the Taliban an agreement for winding down the Afghanistan war.
Afghanistan was Donald Trump's fault?
If you'd let me finish my sentence, I will.
No, you did say that.
It was a mistake to negotiate an end to that war that put Biden in a box. The execution of the withdrawal from Afghanistan was badly handled, and the loss of those 13 Marines was a tragedy.
Should you have asked for Lloyd Austin's resignation from that? Or
I don't know whether Lloyd Austin's the person who should have been held accountable for it, but there should have been accountability.
All
right, so it went on and on and on. So here's Coons, who masquerades as a moderate, right? And this is the response. The Democrat Party, the people calling for this, have no stake in national security or any of this. They have no right to call for anything in this. And I said at the very beginning of the week, it was about Hegseth. They want Hegseth. They want to go after him. There are some even Trump allies that are saying this guy is a problem. You're going to see more of that. But I think it survives. It's not about Waltz. Waltz is secondary here. The only thing, we're at the end of the week, I'd like to know, how did this happen? And let's say we're going to stay off Signal and put an end to this. All right, 855-839-1210. All right, quick question. Now, we haven't talked about the deportations, but we've got a new angle on this. The Archbishop of the guy that's taken over in D.C. from Pope Francis, Pope Francis guy sent into D.C. to head the Roman Catholic Church. Gave this speech to the Jesuit Society for Refugees. Jesuits. How are these people even in the Catholic Church are so far left? And here's the new part. In addition to attacking Trump and saying what Trump is doing here does not fly with Catholic doctrine. If you're a Catholic, you're not flying, according to this cardinal, with Catholic doctrine if you support what Trump is doing here. And he brought up the word crusade, and then he talked about it. You know the crusades, right? Remember that, how much that has been now attacked? Well, the Catholic Church was involved in them, but the crusades, the battle with Muslims who were overrunning Europe. Now he's linked it, and he said, I know I linked it. And he tried to give his justification why what Trump is doing is a crusade, a.k.a. like the crusades, in going forward on this. I mean, Pope Francis has done, the people he's put into position, where the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church is. I've seen Conclave. I liked it a lot. I mean, it is so far, the people he's put into power, when the next pope is chosen, will probably be every bit as left or more left than Pope Francis. How does it continue in this manner, insulting people, telling them this is outside? He said the Biden people had it right. It was a welcoming. That's what Catholics are, welcoming. Cardinal, I guess we should throw out the welcome mat for the killers of Lake and Riley and a million other things that have gone on here. Here's just an example that nobody else would tell you about. Maybe they don't even see it. I talked a while ago about this influx in Northeast Philadelphia. Baldy is one of the schools, B-A-L-D-I. Lincoln was another one. Big high school. Well, the budget just dropped yesterday for the Philadelphia Public Schools, and they're putting more and more so-called mobile classrooms. Oh, my God. Surrounding Lincoln. Why are they doing that? Why suddenly the surge in population there? That's a relatively old area of Philadelphia. And the reason is apparent. The Inquirer even talked about it. All these people that are immigrants coming here, most of it, if not all of it, illegal. So now if your kid goes to a place like Lincoln in the Philadelphia public schools, they're going to be in a mobile classroom, big item in the budget to be building them. Baldy, the same thing. You have kids eating lunch at 10 o'clock in the morning because of this overflow. Now, the Inquirer is not going to fully tell you that. In Northeast Philadelphia, I think they're starting to feel that a bit. How could anyone vote for any Democrat, as bad as the Republican Party leadership is? We're going to have more and more mobile classrooms at Lincoln. Why do you need it all of a sudden? I told you the reason. And yet we're told by people like the guy in Washington that somehow or another, we have to just put up with this. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all that you have to do is push pound 1210. So we're going to be joined by Scott Perry at 12:45. He's on the committee that interrogated Gabbert and Ratcliffe and others around the signal issue. Jeff Van Drew, who's in the middle of several different things with his committee, subcommittees and all that. We'll talk with him a little bit later. And we're going to talk with friend Linda Stein, the Delaware Valley Journal, because they had a big event at the Rainbow Room over in Bucks County for LGBTQ, et cetera, kids, where they get a lot of money, public taxpayer dollars, and it said everyone invited. When they knew where she was from, they kicked her out because she's a hater. Linda Stein, you've heard her on here with Dawn and me over the court, Delaware Valley Journal. I may have to go to the Rainbow Room and show my credentials. Should we carry, if you're a conservative, credentials that say, hater, hater, can't come in here. Nope, you're a hater. Then don't take taxpayer money, you creeps. She'll be here to talk about that. All right, this week is the 20th anniversary of The Office. Great show. I went so crazy at one time. I don't know. It's got to be 12 to 15 years ago, maybe 15. And I think we burned the tape saying that The Office was better than Seinfeld. Obviously, I was wrong. That's not the case. I look at the two of them constantly, more Seinfeld, and it doesn't hold up. It's just not the case. But we're looking for something that when it burst on the field, it was almost like magic. Think of the word magic, meaning can you think of another sitcom, call it what you will, ensemble in an office that really, why would you even try to compete with this? You can't. I mean, it is just Steve Carell in this, just, I don't know if you wrote some of the malaprops or not, but they're just brilliant. And the evolution of the character was brilliant. How toward the end, he was still the same Michael Scott, but he was much more advanced, much more self-aware as he met with Holly and moved on. It's just incredibly done. You just can't, it's magic. The one I always mention to start off with for me, Sandra Bullock in Speed is the first time I saw her as the driver.
Ah.
I don't think she's ever been as good in anything. I mean, she does lighter stuff, but that role, what she, maybe the first time seeing her, was just incredible. Every nuance, everything that she did. I guess she was in smaller stuff before that, but that was it for me. So, Henry, what's your magic?
I'd say something I felt as a kid that was magical was the introduction of the touchscreen on things such as phones, iPods, things like that. You would just kind of scroll back and forth between the pages of apps being like, oh my goodness, like how does this even work? And if we're going to go a movie here, I'll take a movie route. The first time I saw the movie Prisoners, directed by Denis Villeneuve,
okay,
I knew this guy had something special.
You always go to it.
I always go to it. But every little, movie I've seen of his, whether it's in English or it's in French, it's fantastic.
That's a little, I don't know how many people out there are going to, yes, I had the same feeling, but it's a good one. Okay.
A magical never recapture, Dom?
Yes.
This one I think might appeal to Henry more, but you know what? This is before he was born, so I don't know. But man, the magical will never return is the magic of hockey in the late 90s. Legion of Doom. You have Lindros, LeClaire, Renberg, and the violence that hockey had back then, and just it was so much fun to watch, and it was so magical that you would tune in every other night to watch the team. It's a match that I don't think we'll ever have again because of the way that the game of hockey has changed.
Interesting. So are we taking off magic we can never recreate? Is that?
Well, you don't even try, right?
You don't even try? Okay, yeah, so can I say something we'll never recreate then? The camera flashes at a sporting event, such as like the Super Bowl or the World Series. You know, flashing all around the stadium at, you know, at kickoff or the first pitch. Like, we can never get that back again because, well, the touchscreens I mentioned 2 minutes ago.
Heavyweight bout when that is a good one.
Matches,
when they become
And to your point about The Office, Dom, you'll never have the magic of that ensemble comedy in an office space. It's been tried. They try to recapture the magic over and over again with the, you know, documentary style, talk to the camera. Parks and Rec tried to do it, almost captured it, but nobody's ever going to capture the magic of Office, The Office again.
Yeah, Parks and Rec was exactly along those lines. Okay. All right, so you can hit us with that throughout. Get your name into the hat coming up. Yesterday was opening day. Our own Mike Opelka. It's got a great meme up today. I'll just give you one part of it, then I'll fill in the blank. This is a meme on Little League Baseball. So you have something, now everybody knows this. He has all kinds of adjectives for a particular kid. In other words, if you in Little League Baseball played X position, then you're that kid.
I know the position.
Okay? So he's got shortstop. The best kid. That's absolutely true.
Best kid slash, I'd say, coach's kid?
I'd say that for a different position.
Oh, interesting.
We'll see if we differ in it. Yeah. So think back to your Little League days. I know a number of females have played.
Is it short, fat kid for catcher?
No. He's a different title for that. I'll give that in a minute.
He's over at the first.
He's got the slowest kid. I wouldn't call it slowest. I would say the worst in right field.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, that's definite.
Yep. Yeah. Now, when I coached Little League, though, I changed that. We put him in left field because the pitchers usually are, you know, physically throwing hard. If you have kids normally in Little League and most kids swing late, you're not going to see so many balls hit to left. Neither one of them's going to catch it, the left field or the right field. Let's face it. You got to have one of those little fences behind him, hopefully, or a rule where they can't keep running. You're not depending on him to catch it. You know, just don't get killed out there. I'd put him in left field now.
Interesting.
Yeah, versus right field.
You still got to put him in right.
But I love this after opening day. Phillies, what a game baseball is. Winning 7-3. I know they tacked on runs, but striking out 19 times.
Oh, well, that umpire gave the Nationals an extra two. So,
it's still a weird record almost there. All right, phone lines. 855-839-1210. We'll talk with Scott Perry, who was on the committee, who did all that stuff with Gabbert, and he's a retired Brigadier General National Guard. He'll be here at 1245, give us his insight. He asked about China with Gabbert and Ratcliffe, about where this ends up, what happens next. Here's how you get in, 855-839-1210. Yes, that's a side question. I see people already lining up. Oh, it never. You know, people used to ask me, they're coming to Philadelphia to fill in. I remember there was an opening morning drive. 49 people tried out for it and in combinations with people. So it could have been in the 70s. And like a dozen of them. First thing out of their mouth, where do you get a good cheesesteak? Tell me where to get that cheesesteak. I would tell them, talk about pumping your own gas in Jersey. That's all you have to do. I see people lining up already. And the bottom line is, the bottom line is, particularly if you're a conservative, why in the world would you take away my freedom to pump my gas, be on my way, maybe pay less? That could be debated.
In other words, what kind of guarantee?
Oh, come on.
What kind of guarantee would you need? The Bramnick bill maybe doesn't go far enough. I would extend it maybe to 7 in the morning until 9 at night, that they have to have an attendant. By the way, the bill says if you have a disability, why not just say you're disabled? You don't want to pump your gas. You can't do it. You're crazy. Dom's tip of the day. Listen, everyone carries some kind of hand sanitizer in their car now. I do. You always need something like that, right? You pump your gas, you have the hand sanitizer.
No, it's no.
That's all.
Why are we taking away such a good thing?
Well,
you don't even have to get out of the car. It's beautiful. You just pull up and people come to the car and you pop aside and you know, you're on your merry way. Best thing is you can go get some fast food. You don't even got to get it out. You can eat your hamburger.
Well, why can't I be on my merry way? I just want to pump my gas. If you want, you know, if you want to have multiple pumps where people are pumping your gas, just let me pump my own and get the hell out of there.
Gas station owners in New Jersey, yes, the incentive to flub it and say that they have somebody for those that want to pump it and then just have nobody there.
Well, they'd be fine, you know, a lot. So I bet he comes on Monday. He's touching the third rail, running for governor on this. I know it's irrational. I get it. You're irrational. I'll chalk it up to that.
I am.
Yeah, that people have gotten used to this. Just like in Pennsylvania, there's still some people that say, no, you shouldn't be able to buy your alcohol. I would allow you to buy your alcohol in any store that's registered and can be monitored in any way that you want. You can already do it in Acme and all these places. Why can't we just have a better selection? No, we got to go to the state store, and you will not let us go to the gas pump. Two irrational states that are together. Almost every state, I bet, must have
Robot says, Robot
something.
Speed, yep. YouTube says, it's not a lack of freedom issue, Dom. Jersey is still cheaper than PA for taxes. I'm assuming because of some kind of arrangement they have with the gas station owners.
No, it's a sales tax thing.
Yeah.
They just have a lower. And that's, by the way, getting increasingly closer. All right, a couple of other things. I want to finish up this meme thing. I think it's pretty cool what Mike Opelka put together. Meme du jour on his Opelka sends talk show host all kinds of things every day. So the strongest kid he has at third base, that makes some sense. The best kid at short, I agree with that. The smallest kid at second, I definitely agree. There's something, you watch a Little League World Series, the guy that's 4'7" comes up, and he's the scrappy second baseman. First base, what do they put there? Tallest kid. Makes sense.
No,
oh, yeah,
no,
yeah. Tallest
absolutely
kid.
Not.
Yes, big target.
No, short and fattest seven. Kid.
No, that's
short,
the
short I disagree with, but fat, absolutely.
Well, I would say it's usually
the
right
fielder. I was
both
tall and fat, and I was still put in the right field. So
some reason, I'm not sure I agree with this one. He has nicest kid in left field, fastest kid in center field. Mm-hmm. That's usually a given. The toughest kid at catcher. Absolutely right. Doesn't mean he has to be big.
No, you just got to be able to block the ball and not flinch every time there's a swing.
Yeah. I never caught. I played center field. I played first base.
The hardest part about catching, too, is being down in that stance.
Oh, yeah.
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 Need endurance.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's a foul tip. It's not flinching. It's just, when the ball comes in and somebody swings. And you got to realize with Little League, I can't stand Trey Turner for a big reason other than I think he lets one hand go off the bat.
He hates
that because I think that makes a bat go around quicker. And in Little League, you see kids that do this. They throw the bat or they hit somebody with the bat. It's a real thing at Little League. So the one-handed swing just, ugh.
Yeah, those are the kids in right field.
Yeah, exactly. So strongest kid, then best kid, smallest. And the pitcher he has is coach's kid. I could see biggest kid, usually a monster out there throwing hard.
Yeah, but, it's the kid who throws hard. I'd say, like when that pitcher hits his 85 pitch limit, he switches with the shortstop. They just interchange with each other.
Yeah, but it's a pretty fun thing. Wherever you played in Little League, what position did you historically get put in? How many people actually go from, I was 10-year-old to 12, right fielder? And then when I reached 13, I was playing shortstop. I don't see that magically happening.
No.
You have a reputation. You get everything going on. That is absolutely not going to happen. Now, our buddy Scott Presler is going to be on a Monday, his usual Monday spot, I hope. And we're going to have a special pump up of him because things don't look good in Wisconsin. Elon Musk is going to Wisconsin on Sunday night. He's going to give a talk. Entrance is limited to those who have voted in the Supreme Court election by that point. You know by now, right? If they win Wisconsin, they, by hell or high water, are going to knock us out of two congressional seats. That's what's going to happen. There's even fear that the one race in Florida, one looks good, the other, maybe not. Sadly, Elise Stefanik, who would be wonderful, has to sit on the bench as we wait to see all this stuff. She can't join the UN yet. Musk, in addition to speaking, says he will personally hand over two checks, $1 million each, to this audience in appreciation for them taking the time to vote. I guess they'll do a drawing of some sort. You'll have a number there. Now, you may remember, this is where Krasner went after him here in Pennsylvania when he started doing this. What's the problem with this? What's the problem? No one's telling you how to vote. You just have to show that you did vote. You get into this speech, and then they're going to pull out, I believe they'll pull out, two people that will each get $1 million. But it also tells me they recognize what I'm seeing here, which is this is problematic. Now, do I believe if we lose in Wisconsin, this is evidence that people are rejecting what Trump is doing? No. I just blame Republicans again. And my only antidote at this point is give Scott Presler $100 million. Let him just ferociously go on the attack. I've seen the people he's hired. And you have a better shot versus these Republicans. And I found out the guy who lost in that state Senate race in Pennsylvania, remember the one we've been talking about, Lancaster County, which usually goes for the Republican by 30 points. He's one of the biggest opponents. He has been publicly up and down the line against mail-in balloting. Okay? You want to continue this. You just want to lose. Losers. That's what we have here. How many times do we have to say it? If we don't ferociously get behind mail-in balloting, early voting, pushing on that, along with election integrity, if we don't do that, even if you want to show up with your mail-in ballot and hand it in there, that type of thing, okay. We're going to lose. They were way ahead in a race without a lot of voters, and they lost by 482. Again, what more lessons do you need to know? And guess who now is in favor, at least on paper, of mail-in balloting? Doug Mastriano. But the Mastro is meddling again in the governor's race. I'll tell you what he's up to now. And he's making quite a pitch to Stacey Garrity, who I really like a lot. We try to get her on because I want to tell her, don't go with the Mastro. I'll tell you what that is. But Chris in South Jersey. Hey, Chris, I hear you love pumping your own gas.
Dom, we don't have much going for us in Jersey, but at least we don't have to pump our gas in the rain.
Oh my goodness. Come on, Chris. You seem like a pioneer woman on any other occasion. Now you can't get out of the car. Oh my God.
Listen, I grew up in New England.
Okay, right.
I had to pump my gas when I started driving when I was 16 years old.
Okay.
You know what it's like to pump gas in New England in the winter in the old days? It sucked.
Yeah.
So I appreciate, finally in my old and golden years, that I no longer have to pump my gas in the rain. It doesn't affect the cost of gas. And where do you ever see huge lines of people waiting?
I see it all the time. You go by when we are, the first time we're headed down the shore, the Farley Plaza, places like that, you got to wait. All right, Chris, we differ. But Chris, what's the magic for you? What's your answer on that? What happened?
Ruh-roh.
Special effects.
Right.
Wait. The special effects in Star Wars the first time.
Ooh. That's a good one. Ooh, okay, Chris. Answer. Yeah, we'll get Bramnick on. How can you run for governor? And before, I mean, what? We've been through this before. You can come on in New Jersey and say some of the, look at what Phil Murphy's done. We're going to tax you based on your income for your utilities. The more you make, the more you're going to pay for utilities after they've screwed up the whole Jersey Shore with the whales thing, et cetera. You can do that and still make it. But you can't say, We're going to let you pump your own gas. Oh, my God. All right, 855-839-1210. You can get on. Coming up, Doug Mastriano surfaces again. And I have to say, he has what might be an intriguing pitch to win the governor's race on paper. But I'll tell you why this is dangerous if we have any hope of beating Josh Shapiro, or at least dusting him up quite a bit. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. Let's talk about Sicily. In Sicily, you can pump your own gas, I've been told. Now, the gas is higher there than it might be here. Europe's high.
Is it by liter, too?
Yes. It's by liter. That might
Strange.
Be tricky.
You can never tell how
but
much you're paying.
Everybody wanted to be in Sicily. The Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, the Spaniards, the Germans. And now we're going. Ro and I would invite you to join us for the Mediterranean, Europe, and Sicily and Calabria this fall. The sun, the sea, unparalleled beauty. And if you're headed to Europe, even without us, there's only one. Ken Chase, Conservative Tours. They are spectacular. The people you work with, the tour guides, Mario, Giuseppe, people like that, they know the best stuff, the best places to go. $55.44, that includes airfare. The dining events, they're the stuff of legend that we've told you about. The wines, the camaraderie with listeners, you just can't match this. There's nothing like it. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. Just call them now to get all the details or tell them you're coming. Bring the group. 888-733-9494 or go to conservativetours.com. We'll even enjoy the Godfather tour, visit the locales from all three movies. Taormina, one stop, that's the crown jewel of Sicily. Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily. White Lotus, you've seen some of that. It's storied. Savoca, it's another place we'll hit. Call now. We'd really like you to join us, and you'll see, if you've come before, you know this, how well put together these tours are. Call 888-733-9494. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. We're going to be joined at 2:30 by one of our favorites, State Representative Martina White. How does Larry Krasner, the Inquirer must have missed this, City and State is this magazine slash newspaper, like a periodical, did an interview with them. And Krasner, in that interview, talked about punching political opponents all over the place, these fascists, these MAGA types. When asked, based on conversations with residents and ward leaders, what's one area to your office should work on to continue to build on? And he said, I think that's a fair question, but I would say, which part don't voters in Philadelphia like, the safety or the freedom? Oh, my God. This guy is just, you got to understand, he is the top of the line of these people that have been placed into these very, very progressive attorneys all over the country.
Can I read you one more quote?
Yeah, what's the other one? Yes.
It says, the question was, you've also pitched yourself as a democracy advocate and someone who will stand up to an overreaching federal government. Do you think starting legal battles with the Trump administration could impact your bandwidth to do work within the city? Blah, blah, blah. He responds a bit, but then he goes to, I don't want people to miss this. Trump likes crime. Fascists like crime. Right-wing Republican MAGA people like crime, and they like it because it gins up a crisis that doesn't have to be, which allows them to scapegoat different groups of marginalized people so they can eliminate our rights. This is a very old playbook. I'm speaking to you as a 63-year-old whose dad volunteered and served in World War II. I grew up knowing a hell of a lot about World War II, the Nazis, and the rise of fascism and Mussolini. This is all stuff close to me, and I know exactly where we need to be with this one. Loud, proud, standing up in all their faces. These are fundamentally fascists, and it will not do us any good to try to appease them. They're bullies who need to be punched in the face as hard as possible, and that's the only way that all the people around us who are so frightened will understand that they can stand up to.
So again, Judge Dugan, Dan, I'm starting to move that Dom Giordano show counter with Judge Dugan to radioactive plutonium in here. Suddenly, he's not available for the biggest thing that he has out there, Judge. Don't listen to your advisors. Come back on the show. We like you. What are you going to do about a guy like this in a debate? A guy that's this blatant in your face. that can slur people in Northeast Philadelphia, South Philadelphia, Latino neighborhoods now who voted for Trump or gone up and down the line. Okay? How in the world can you not get in his face, literally? Dan suggested a really good answer to today's side question. It's true. I'm not sure now, each and every time, you know, but in the very beginning, particularly when we did the Wildwood with people coming days in advance, the Trump rallies, without a doubt, the Trump rallies were magic when they first started to happen and continued for quite a period of time.
The camaraderie that was there.
Yes, exactly.
But I got to ask, though, do you think this is the start of many in the future? Has politics moved into a realm where these enormous stadium sellout rallies are going to become the norm? Or do you think this is a magic that's in a bottle that will never be captured again? It's just because of Trump.
I would say never captured again. You need something really Trumpian, which is the cult of personality. Or you need Bernie Sanders, the extreme side of something. And even then, the Sanders rallies are not consistently like the Trump thing.
They don't concern you?
No, not that. It's a base of their party. You know, they're pent up and all, Bernie and AOC. I'm keeping my eye on it, but I see what happens in Wisconsin and Florida on Tuesday can make a better judgment. By the way, we're trying to get her on. See, I was ahead of the curve. This Lindsay Williams, guys, I told you yesterday the stuff that she said when we talked about the Fairness in Women's Sports Act now is on Fox News. She said female bodies are just as strong, just as fast as males. She is insufferable. I have it. We'll play you the tape of it. I mean, this woman has it all. Making national news here in Pennsylvania to try to stop the obvious. So, I doubt that she's, I think she came on once. That didn't go so well. I remember it was only like 10 minutes and already I could tell it was over. Okay. We're going to talk with Scott Perry next. He's on the committee that interrogated Gabbard and Ratcliffe in the middle of the Signal debate this week. He's next on Talk Radio 1210. All right. One of our favorites, Congressman Scott Perry here in the Dom Giordano Show. And the congressman is on the committee that interviewed, interrogated, whichever word you prefer, Tulsi Gabbard and John Ratcliffe, head of the CIA, during this week's scrum over Signalgate. Congressman joins us here in Philadelphia. Congressman, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Dom, and, you know, never a dull moment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to go first to what you asked on this committee, which they were there for also, and I'm glad we got some questions in. And you asked about China buying up a lot of land. The Philadelphia Inquirer says, allegedly buying up a lot of land. Hey, maybe they'll buy up the Inquirer building. They would feel comfortable there, the communist Chinese, over at the Inquirer building.
Yeah, they could buy that, but they probably say, why waste our money? It's already communist, so we can go elsewhere and turn other things communist, right? We don't have to mess with that one.
Yeah, exactly. So you asked about that. Were you satisfied with the answers you were getting?
Well, I wasn't really satisfied, but I'll tell you the truth. I'm not sure I expected much more. You know, one of the issues, and look, we're grappling with it right now, is just that we live in America. This is a free country. You know, you want to sell your property and some individual, you know, from China is, comes and says, well, I want to buy it and I'll pay you, you know, 10% over asking price. You're like, I don't really love the Communist Party of China, but I got to sell this property and this guy wants to pay more. So, you know, so this is a free country and China exploits it. So we're trying to figure out the way. And of course, you know, the principals on the dais didn't appear to really have an answer either. I was hoping that they would about how we can restrict the Chinese Communist Party connected individuals from buying land. But certainly it seems like if nothing else, look, I don't want to disenfranchise Americans from being able to sell their land. But if you have land next to a sensitive, you know, nuclear missile site, we can't have the Chinese buying it up and putting a cryptocurrency mining operation there where they can collect information and send out a drone swarm. You know, that's not working.
Well, look, you're in elective office. I'm not, but I'm more of an extremist on this. I don't think we ought to sell it to them anywhere, any place, anyhow. And again, the national security interest, I think, to me, is so severe, so existential. As much as I share what you said about the person or right to sell their land, I just think this is, I mean, Congressman, this week we had on Mike Testa over in Jersey, his bill to stop information on the New Jersey Turnpike through the towing companies going to the Communist Chinese Party. That's even debatable in Jersey.
Yeah, you're right about that. Listen, we got to be mindful, of course, like of Americans' rights. But when it comes to the security of our country, quite honestly, whether it's, you know, online apps like Red Note or Red Book or the Communist Party of China buying land or the Communist Party of China sending over hundreds of thousands of students, which then collect on Americans and right. conduct espionage, like, let's recognize the enemy for who they are and do something robust about it. And that was kind of the point of my right. questioning. Like, let's not wait until after it happens and then try and solve it. Let's just not let it happen. Would that be better?
Exactly. Now, on to the signal thing, and listeners know on this show at least, but maybe not widely, your military background, et cetera. Is there anything wrong that you see strategically with just saying fundamentally, this was a mistake? We're moving on. We're not going to use signal anymore for something like this. In fact, during this, I think a few parties said maybe we ought to go to more classified since what we're talking about with this. And I guess it would have been hard with Ratcliffe to just insist as the head of the CIA, you know, you want to be a team player in this to say, yo, I can't be part of this. We got to move on to something else. I don't trust this. So what did you find by listening other than, you know, Democrats just attacking? Where are you now with what the solution is to this?
Yeah, Democrats are attacking, you know, and it's to be expected. And I think there's still a lot more facts that need to come out. I just think that based on my experience, that any information that is classified or that is, you know, questionably, like if you have a question, you're like, I'm not sure it's classified. Well, here's the thing. If you're not sure, just to act like it is, if you're handling it and treat it accordingly. And for me, that meant a face-to-face briefing. That meant a what we call a stew, a classified telephone if you couldn't, you know, be there in person, or the CIPRNet, the high side, the classified, internet side of things. Because, let me just say it this way. I don't know if everybody, you know, needs to know everything the moment it's happening, such that it has to happen on a cell phone, right? Like, it's nice to know, but is it going to change anything that you know with immediacy unless there's a decision to be made? And if there's a decision to be made, look, I get that. Then get yourself to a location where, you know, the proper and at long time accepted facilities exist to communicate. That's how I feel comfortable.
I hear you. And to that point, having on the special envoy who happened to be in Russia at the time, you're inside this, but it just seems to me anything in Russia or anything related, is there a need to know? The fewer the better here to contain this type of stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, timing's important. Is it? Look, you know, obviously, I spent a long time with multiple classified classifications, in my security clearance, right? I spent a fair amount of time with that, 3 decades or so, and of course, I have one now, et cetera. But the thing that is always overarching is, do you have the right and need to know? And kind of goes with that is, do I need to know right now? Like, can this wait till I get home? Can this wait till I get back to the office? Unless I'm making a decision about it, like, you know, and it's just news that I can, you know, even if it affects other things. Again, if it doesn't affect them imminently,
right,
then why can't I just wait till I get back to the office to get the news? You know, if I'm going out to the press conference, And I need to know what happened because I'm going to get asked a question, then get a briefing. You know, get a briefing.
Yeah, I would agree. The upside of this to me, and I'm not sure if you took a stance or not, the discussion was what we see in public. It was consistent. It was high level. And I particularly like J.D. Vance more than anybody, if I had to choose, what he said about the European allies and what they should be doing, etc. He folded then into correctly the team. It's a consensus. I can go with that for the president. But I think that he was more consistent with what I think the Trump position usually is than anybody else.
Yeah, and I think, look, if we didn't learn anything else, what we did learn is that there's not, and thank goodness, there's not somebody, you know, in the White House that we don't know, you know, what their identity is, but they have an auto pen, and,
right.
You know, and the president's taking a nap, and this is all happening, and nobody in the administration is communicating with one another. You know, I think we can rest assured, and we've seen it in real time now, that there is robust communication. There's responsible debate and question before major decisions are being made. And isn't that what we want our elected officials and our leadership doing?
Parting question, what's upcoming right now that all of us should be, that's on your radar screen front and center? Is there anything major coming up, say, this next week?
Well, it is. The Senate is going to move what I think is the framework for their reconciliation package.
Okay.
And as you know, the House did already. And, you know, this is the framework about how we quit bankrupting the country, incorporate, you know, some of these DOGE things in there and preserve the taxes, the tax levels right where they are, as opposed to seeing taxes go up. Now, my concern, just to let you know, is in the framework the House did, we put limits on what can be spent. And look, I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of House members that are they're nervous about that. They have trepidation because they want to spend more money.
Right.
You know, they never want to cut a thing. My concern right now is the Senate has a good number, right? They have a good number, but they have nothing to bind them to that number that I think that they're going to put in what they pass. And look, I've been around Washington a little while. You leave an opening for the rats to get off the ship, and they're going to get off the ship and spend your money. And yes. People like to tell you, look, you have my word. Well, I've had a lot of people tell me I've got their word, but, you know, their word wasn't worth anything at the end of the day. And so I like cash on the barrelhead, my brother.
Exactly.
And so when they write this thing, I don't want to see we're going to get at least $1 billion in savings, right? We are spending $2 trillion at least, you know, annually, more than we take in. So $1 billion ain't going to cut it. I want to see something that holds us to the requirement, because you can't count on individual members to do it themselves. They just are not strong enough. And so that's what I'm going to be looking for, and I hope you're all looking for it too. And I'm going to tell you, if it looks like it's some weak sauce to you, I hope you reach out to your senators and your representatives and say, do not pass this crap. We want to see you do real things. We want you to show the American people, the financial markets, and the world that you're going to be responsible with our tax money, and we're not going to keep spending like there's a pandemic on. And we don't want to sit, you know, we don't want to bankrupt our country, and we're tired of you trying to bankrupt us.
Thank you. Radar screen is set for next week. Thanks, Congressman, very much.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Be safe.
Have a good weekend. Jeff Van Drew, back-to-back congressman, is next on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.